You know, we've all been taught about the separation of church and state, but this year's presidential candidates know that an overwhelming majority of American voters consider themselves religious. Over the years, many candidates have found ways to acknowledge that. Ronald Reagan frequently ended speeches by saying, "God bless America." Bill Clinton used biblical language when he proposed a new covenant with Americans. And all that raises the question of exactly how our religious beliefs factor into the way we vote. We've asked two people who think about this question to join us now. Alan Wolf heads the Boise Center for Religion and Public Life at Boston College, and he's at the studios of WBUR in Boston. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
And Laura Olson is a professor of political science at Clemson University, also editor of the Encyclopedia of American Religion and Politics. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
We hear a lot about the religious right in this country, but is that an oversimplification of the way that Americans think about religion and voting?
I think very much so, yes. I think we have in this country about 25% of the population who are what we call evangelical Protestants. Many of them would identify with the so-called religious right, which is sort of a marriage between conservative religious beliefs and conservative political beliefs. And President Bush is sort of a part of that, or at least appeals to some of that. But there are a whole lot of other folks out there in America who have a lot of different kinds of religious orientations. There's 25%, for example, who are Catholic, and Catholics are all over the place when it comes to voting. They used to be quite Democratic in their party affiliation, but now they're very much a swing constituency. If you're looking for a random sample in this country, go look at Catholics, because they very much span the gamut. The other thing I think this raises about the Catholic Church in this country is that it is able, as an institution, really to ally itself both with the right and the left. Its strong stance against abortion allows it to work with groups on the right, whereas its strong commitment to social justice and welfare for people who are impoverished, etc., allows them to work with people on the left.
The same thing's actually true among evangelicals. I mean, it's true that there's a significant number of people who call themselves evangelical, but to think that they're automatic votes for the Republican Party is actually a mistake. For one thing, a large number of our most conservative religious believers are African Americans who are very conservative theologically and actually subscribe to strong evangelical faiths, but vote, you know, Democratic in overwhelming numbers. Believe it or not, there are some evangelicals who actually believe that Jesus was a man of peace and that Christians should be very, very wary about going to war. I think that a lot of people just assume that if you're a conservative Protestant, you belong to the religious right. That's true of a lot of people, but it's by no means true of all of them.
Let me move from the subject of political issues to the subject of personal piety, if that's the way to phrase it, the religious beliefs of a candidate. When it comes to presidential candidates, what generally do American voters expect out of anyone who's going to get their vote for president?
I think there's been a kind of remarkable change. If I were to ask people, what was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's religion? Most people wouldn't know. It's actually something we didn't really ask about. 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's in recent years, I really think since Jimmy Carter, that it's suddenly become such a big issue and that we're examining candidates for their personal piety. Kennedy's actually a fascinating example, because when he talked about religion, it was about how religion would not shape what he did. Now it's the opposite. Now they all want to tell us how religion will shape what they do.
What's changed?
I actually think that it has a great deal to do with how people look for clues as to how to vote. Historically, you looked at a political party. You said, I was a Democrat, my grandfather was a Democrat, I'm always going to vote Democrat or Republican on the other side. Party identification has dramatically declined. We have a lot of independent voters. So people need some other sign about who might be a good person. Well, hey, this guy believes in God. That tells me something about him.
Can I ask you both if you think that President Bush enjoys an automatic advantage on questions of religion because he has identified himself as a born-again Christian?
It seems to me that he does with certain constituencies. I think that he certainly does with conservative Protestants, with, you know, evangelicals who do, in fact, identify with the Republican Party, who are very conservative on moral issues.
And who already agreed with him on other issues
anyway. That's right. And with traditional Catholics and with some others here and there. But it seems to me that out there somehow there's a constituency of people who perceive the relationship between religion and politics in quite a different way, which is not so much, here, let's preserve traditional family structure and let's preserve old moral values and this sort of thing, but instead, let's use religion as an impetus to work for social justice, a more left-leaning kind of witness. And a candidate, it seems to me, could go out and try and appeal to that constituency, but no one has.
Bush is a very interesting case. Karl Rove believes that we are so polarized that you just got to give your base everything they want. And so Mr. Bush has been talking language that the religious right hears and identifies with. I believe, and I hate to say I'm smarter than Karl Rove, but we all have opinions, that there still are lots of independents and moderates in the United States, and that explicitly religious talk turns them off. They are religious believers, but they don't think that decisions about whether we should find a cure for Parkinson's disease should be based upon some theological principle about when life begins.
That's Alan Wolfe. Alan Wolfe is the author of The Transformation of American Religion. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Laura Olson is the editor of the Encyclopedia of American Religion and Politics. Thank you very much.
Thank you.